It has been weeks since the Niger coup happened, and there seems to be no end in sight. What does this mean for neighboring countries battling their own problems? Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Sabiga, your host for today. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the continent and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with a guest, Ulf Lissing, who is the head of the Sahel program at the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, a think tank. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to join you today.
Is the Nigerian junta gaining legitimacy, or do you think the prospect of an ECOWAS intervention is affecting that?
I think people in Niger are divided. There are still supporters for the ousted president, but people keep quiet. I mean, there was a protest supporting the president on the first day of the coup, but then security forces opened fire, according to witnesses. And since then, you know, the pro-president supporters have gone silent. Now, I mean, there's a lot of, we see all these videos from protests supporting the junta. They are kind of, in a way, manipulated in a big, you have a lot of, poor people. Niger is one of the poorest countries in the world, much poorer than Nigeria. And you find a lot of unemployed people who are basically now being hired or being encouraged to join these protests. Someone give them a Russian flag. So there is also a sentiment. People are generally angry, unemployed, looking for changes. But now the prospect from ECOWAS to intervene militarily has also kind of given the military government a new boost. Many people see there should be a national solution, not a solution force from outside. And even the ousted President Bazoum, he was often criticized for being too close to Europe and America. So now this is also being channeled a bit by supporters of the junta, so who are saying basically, look, this president was already with Europe and now he's sending ECOWAS to, you know, start war against us. So that's, this kind of threat of military intervention certainly helps the military government.
So basically, people internally are kind of against the fact that ECOWAS want to intervene, and they think that the solution should be within Niger, right?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of skepticism in Niger, or criticism that the ousted President Bazoum was close to France, the former colonial power. And now the supporters of the junta basically, you know, accuse France to, trying to, push ECOWAS to intervene militarily. And that certainly, you know, makes it worse. I mean, there's a strong anti-French sentiment, which is being used by supporters of the junta, but it's really widespread. So any notion that ECOWAS might be acting with the support of France makes the situation even more complicated and makes people call for a national solution.
Well, looking at the neighboring countries of Niger, so Mali and Burkina Faso, who are also being led by a military government, and lately they have been showing support. Even from the beginning, they have shown support of the coup. They have also made a statement that declaring war on Niger means declaring war on them by extension. How does that affect the neighboring countries of Niger, including Mali and Burkina Faso? Are things potentially going to get worse in terms of security?
Yeah, I don't think that Mali or Burkina Faso have the capabilities to, to intervene militarily to stop military action by ECOWAS. But certainly they reach out to the junta. Like you said, there are also military governments in Mali and Burkina. Both are close to Russia. You know, both presidents were just in St. Petersburg meeting President Putin. And I don't think Russia is involved in this coup in Niger, but I'm pretty sure that Russia is trying to use Mali, Burkina Faso to reach out to Niger to make friends with the new putschist and basically also divide ECOWAS, because Mali and Burkina are still ECOWAS members. So that kind of lowers the chance of a consensus for military action against Niger.
Would you say that Russia is actively trying to be involved in the Niger crisis, or would that be more like a sidestep?
I don't think they're actively involved in the putsch, but you can see there's a lot of disinformation campaign on social media. I mean, it started with a coup. You know, on day one, people were claiming that President Bazoum had resigned when his fate was still undecided. And then the next day, there were all these rumors that France is going to attack or ECOWAS is going to attack. So there's, you know, there's not a direct hand of Moscow, but with the influencers on social media, they're trying to, you know, whip up sentiment against the West and for, you know, cooperation with Russia along the way.
So now with everything in the picture, with the ECOWAS intervention and having Mali and Burkina Faso potentially being involved, what do diplomatic relations look like for Niger?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no, probably still a chance for a diplomatic solution. With ECOWAS, probably not a military solution, but, you know, there will be a transition period. And I guess the focus will be now to convince them not to stay too long in power. And so the putsch is organized election. I think you can see also like Western countries, United States, they have a huge drone base in Niger. So they have interest there. And then Europe is concerned about migration because Niger is the main transit route to Libya. So there could be also pressure from Europe now, of some European countries and the United States on ECOWAS to favor some sort of diplomatic solution that basically these putsches get recognized but don't stay too long on power, just have a relatively short transition period.
Well, we can only hope that the transition period is successful, looking at history in countries like Sudan and how that, unfolded.
Yes, that's a real risk. If there's a military intervention, I think there's a serious chance that Niger could end up like Sudan. It's very fragile and weak. There might be army units still supporting the ousted president, but if there was an intervention, you had basically different army units fighting each other. So that's why I think it's important to try to find some sort of diplomatic or peaceful solution.
Yes, hopefully. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Olt, for your time, for your inputs and thoughts. These are very much appreciated, and we hope that, like you said, we would find more diplomatic ways of resolving this without so much being at risk in terms of, you know, security and all of that. But it was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Join us in 2 weeks for another episode. The producer is Usman Abbazanna. The executive producer is Ahmed Salkida.